Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. I know I normally read my text in the beginning, but I'm going to delay, and when we get into the message, you'll understand why. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I often say, sir, we would see Jesus. Please illuminate our minds. Please illuminate the text as we study it. And Lord, I praise you and thank you. Lord, please help us today. And in that wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. When I first began to study the book of Matthew, and I know it's been a long time since I started, but when I began in chapter 1, we saw that Jesus Christ bursts upon the scene after a 400-year lull, a period of silence between the Old Testament and the New. Jesus bursts upon the scene, and he's portrayed as the King of the Jews, come to his kingdom, coming to take account. Perhaps as no other book, Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as the central figure of the Bible, of history, and all of creation. And in this book, in other books in the Old Testament, what have you, Jesus is shown to be the answer to the problems that we face. He didn't come to the world as a politician. He wasn't a scientist. He didn't come up with any cures for cancer. I'm sure that there were people that he laid hands upon and healed. But he didn't come as any of these things that we think of today. But he came as the Savior of the world, the one called by God, anointed by God, and appointed by God to pay the penalty for our sins. And as we read this book, Matthew, and the other Gospels and what have you, we see Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. He's portrayed as the answer, the ultimate answer for the problems that we face. And these two chapters, they go together, obviously. They show us a pattern, which we'll get into in just a minute. And the miracles that he performed in these two chapters are representative of many more thousands or tens of thousands or however many thousands of miracles that Jesus did. We have just 4 books in the Gospels, not even 100 chapters. Not everything that he did was recorded. We know that he did many more miracles and great things and what have you. He taught other things that are not recorded. Just as John said in the close of his gospel, there aren't enough books in the world, and couldn't be enough books written in all the world to tell all what Jesus had done. Now, we certainly know his message. We certainly understand what he was trying to get across. There aren't any, for instance, lost gospels with some new message or whatever that's not recorded in the 66 books that we have. We understand what the gospel is, but he's so magnificent and healed so many thousands and thousands of people. It's just not possible that everything that he did could be recorded in the New Testament. But again, Jesus is pictured as the answer. There are many different ways to study the Bible. You know that I teach from the perspective of Old Testament typology. The type obviously being something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. And we understand the greatest type in the Old Testament would be the Passover. Paul and others said that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I love studying the types. And on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, that's what Jesus did. He taught the types in the Old Testament, the things in the Old Testament that foreshadowed and prophesied of his coming. But again, there are many methods to study. One method that I want to use today is that of taking an outline of these two chapters. Now, I won't be able to look at everything, but I want to focus on the miracles that he did. And again, just like you did in fourth and fifth grade back in school, maybe you didn't like to do an outline when the English teacher said to do it, but I believe that it's useful. Again, there are many different ways to study the Bible, and this is one of those methods. Now, what I did was I got on the internet and did a little bit searching, and I found an outline of the book of Matthew, and I took a look at what it said for these two chapters, and I adjusted what the guy said a little bit. Now, okay, I guess I cheated. I went Google something and took someone else's work. But I used to have friends that went to Bible college, and one of the things that they told me was that the professor, often, if they're studying the book of Jonah or they're studying whatever, the professor will say, okay, what I want you to do for the next class, if it was Monday, then they meet on Wednesday, by next time I want you to have read the book of Jonah and made an outline of it. The point of the class in question was to study the book of Jonah. So let's take a look. Let's read it all. Let's try to break it out to see what chapters or paragraphs or whatever go together, what naturally breaks out. And again, this outline method of studying is often very useful. But as I said, I cheated. But it's useful to take a book or a chapter yourself and try to make your own outline. You may not get everything right. You may miss something. But as you continue to study and occasionally use this method, you'll get proficient at critical analysis. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." As you study the word of God, as you dig into it, not just, oh, I read a chapter, or not just, well, I heard a sermon somebody said on the radio or whatever, or in Sunday school, but, look, I studied it myself. Then you begin to understand in a greater way. So with all of that said, let's take a look. Again, we said that Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews come to his kingdom. I guess you could title these two chapters in your outline, The Power of the King. There are three classes of miracles that Jesus performs in these two chapters. There's the compassionate miracles. Then there's the authoritative miracles. And there's what I call the profound miracles. In Matthew chapter 8, let's read verse 2 and 3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This man had leprosy. The Lord was compassionate upon him. A few verses down, there's paralysis that the Lord dealt with. Verse 5, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Whatever the palsy was, some sort of debilitating disease, there's cerebral palsy that we know about, there are other diseases. We kind of get the sense that the guy really couldn't move, couldn't walk. He was paralyzed. And we studied this some time back. The Lord spoke the word, and the man was healed. He had compassion for paralysis. But just a few verses down, Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. And it says that when Jesus came into the house, found out that the mother-in-law had a fever, that he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Again, compassionate miracles, leprosy. The man had a look that everybody knew when they looked at him. They understood that he was a leper, and they didn't want to get close to him. He was shunned, what have you. He had to stay outside the camp, etc. But the Lord healed. Then there was the paralyzed servant. The Lord healed. And then Peter's mother had a fever, but the Lord healed her. Then there are the authoritative miracles. In the natural realm, the supernatural realm, and in the spiritual realm. And again, we've taken our time to study each of these things in depth. But in chapter 8, verse 23, it says that Jesus entered into a ship, and his disciples followed them. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. A big storm came up, big waves crashing over the bow and what have you, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, it says, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. I'm sure they said it in a much more emphatic way. But his answer, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. A natural calamity. We understand in New Orleans natural calamity. Hurricanes coming. We understand that. The disciples in that little bitty boat were about to die. Jesus asleep in the boat. If he's not worried, why should they have been? Is Jesus in your boat? Don't worry, O ye of little faith. But when they called upon him, he got up, rubbed the sleep out of his eyes, would have you, and he turned and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. He can do it for you. Put your trust in him. Again, a natural calamity. But we read on down when we studied in Matthew chapter 8, verse 30. And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine, pigs, feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, They went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. That man was demon-possessed. But Jesus performed a supernatural miracle and ejected those demons from that man. And again, we studied this, but Jesus Christ is able to take care of the supernatural problems in your life. But then there's the spiritual problems. In chapter 9, verse 1, it says that Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. But it says they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy. Same kind of disease that we talked about just a bit ago, I suppose. But instead of healing him, like he did before, he said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees and all those people, they got all upset and said, "He's blaspheming God, and who does he think he is? Forgiven sin? I mean, only God can do that," and etc. And they were beside themselves. They were all bent out of shape. But Jesus knew their thoughts. But he said, "Which is easier for me to say, your sins be forgiven you, or arise, take up your bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And then he turns around and says, "Okay, now, take up your bed and go home." And the guy who couldn't walk, his legs were all paralyzed or shrunken or whatever the case was. Maybe he didn't have any nervous motor control. I don't know what it was. But he took up his bed and he went home. Again, it's a spiritual miracle. He could have just said, "Hey, get up and walk." But he had the audacity, the scribes and Pharisees and whoever said, to say, "Your sins are forgiven." Again, a spiritual miracle. He's the one that can forgive sins. He's God come in the flesh, is what he was trying to prove. But again, these authoritative miracles prove that he's God. Prove that the buck stops with him. Do you have any trouble in your life? Look to him. That's what these two chapters are saying. But then there's the profound miracles. This last group of miracles can only be viewed as profound. It's one thing to say to a man, "Hey, rise up and walk." It's a perhaps greater miracle to say to the wind, "Be still." But these last miracles are profound. There's the miracle of life. Starting at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, and we know his name from another gospel, "Jairus came and said that my daughter's dead. Come lay your hands upon her and she shall live." And eventually, when he got there, she was raised from the dead. But on the way, interrupting him, came the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. I don't know what an issue of blood is. Maybe she had a sore that just wouldn't heal. Maybe it bled all the time. Maybe it was something that today we would say a chemical imbalance, diabetes, something with the blood sugar. I don't know what it was. It doesn't say, but it says an issue of blood for 12 years. Suffering with this thing for 12 years. But she said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." He didn't lay his hands upon her. He didn't speak to her. He didn't do anything. She had faith. She reached out and touched the hem of that garment, and she got herself healed. Again, by trusting in him, looking to him, depending upon him, and reaching out by faith. Again, these are profound miracles. And again, her episode was just an interruption. And oh, by the way, on the way to raising Jairus' daughter. But a few verses after all of that takes place, in verse 27, there were two blind men that followed, crying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And he said, while touching their eyes, "According to your faith, be it unto you." I understand that we have great medical science today. If you have cataracts, you can get those removed. You can have the keratomy stuff done. There's a lot of things that medical science can do. But if someone's blind, I mean blind, then the doctor says, well, you know, maybe we can do an eye transplant. Maybe they can do that now, or maybe they will soon. But aside from that, the doctor says, hey, there's nothing I can do. But Jesus Christ can heal the blinded eye. And he did so. He restored sight to these two blind men. Again, a profound miracle. And the last one to be performed was that of speech. There was a dumb man possessed with a devil. He was dumb. He couldn't speak. But when the devil was cast out, he was able to speak. And they marveled, saying, "It's this kind of miracle's never been even seen in Israel." Again, these are profound miracles. Life risen from the dead. Blind eyes opened. And speech restored. But in these two chapters and these miracles that he performed, these categories of miracles, the compassionate miracles, the authoritative miracles, and the profound miracles, Jesus is shown to be Lord over our infirmities and the troubles and oppositions of life. And I want to say it again. Do you have any problem, any difficulty, any struggle? Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Isaiah said, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Jesus, the only name given unto man whereby a man can be saved. For the Scripture says, "He has given us a name that is high above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord."
shepherd.
He's the great shepherd.
The rock of all ages.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.